Good morning. Our reading this morning is from Mark chapter 4, and we're starting at verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Amen.
Thank you, Gail. Let us again join our hearts together in prayer. Loving God, as we come now to hear your word preached, we are so grateful this morning to be back in Mark's Gospel. Lord Jesus, we've been on quite a journey through Lent and Easter. And as we now return to Mark's Gospel, we ask that you would help us this morning to continue to see who you are and what you came to do. Holy Spirit, speak to us through these passages. Show us that Jesus brings peace to our storms and freedom to those in bondage. In the loving name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, it's good today to be back in Mark's Gospel. We were preaching through Mark's Gospel. We stopped for our journey through Lent and then Easter. And then last week, the week after Easter, we were speaking about Doubting Thomas and Jesus appearing to the risen Christ appearing to his disciples. So we're now picking up from where we left off from Mark. And there's two stories here that show us Jesus' power in ways that would have absolutely shocked his disciples, his first disciples. We're in Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35 that Gail read for us, and it goes right through to chapter 5, verse 20, because these two stories, I think they belong together. They both show us the same thing, that Jesus has authority over chaos. Whether it's the chaos of a storm, or the chaos of demonic possession, when Jesus speaks, things change. So we start Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.'" So it's been a long day, and Jesus has been teaching in parables. We saw that in the earlier part of chapter 4. And now it gets a bit later in the day, he says to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." Now we need to remember here that some of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. Peter, Andrew, James and John, and they knew this water very well. They had spent their lives on it. They also knew how to handle a boat. A bit unlike me there in that video. I wasn't great at handling the boat, but they knew how to handle a boat. It was not their first time either crossing the Sea of Galilee. We read in verse 36, it says, "Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him." So they leave the crowds and they get into a boat. And Mark tells us that they get in just as he was. So he didn't go home first to get changed. He didn't go home for a wee lie down. Some of us might do that if we're tired after a long day. He gets straight into the boat, tired from a long day of teaching. Then verse 37 says, "A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat and it was nearly swamped." Now the word here, squall, it's not a word, well, it's certainly not a word I use. I don't know if some of us use it, but I certainly do not use the word squall. But it means this, it means a sudden, sharp and intense increase in wind speed, lasting minutes, often accompanied by heavy rain or thunderstorms. So that's what was happening here. And the Sea of Galilee is known for sudden and violent storms. You would have seen in that video that I showed there, it's surrounded by hills and mountains, and the cool air from the heights, they can rush down and clash with the warm air over the water, and that can cause really intense storms that just come out of nowhere. And that's what happened there. It says a furious squall. So the waves are coming over the boat, water's pouring in, the boat is nearly swamped. And these experienced fishermen, they know what they're doing in those conditions. But this storm is definitely worse than what they were used to, and they think they're in real danger. And where's Jesus? Where is Jesus? Verse 38 says, "Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion." So Jesus is asleep. In the middle of this life-threatening storm, Jesus is having a wee nap, a wee snooze. He's in the back of the boat. I wonder how many people here could sleep through a storm like that. Put your hand up if you're a really deep sleeper. And if a storm was going on, Harley, aye, anybody? A few at the back there? Yep. I'm probably not like that, to be honest, but I know that some folks are. You know, they say that you could sleep through a storm. Now, we need to understand what this is telling us about Jesus. Jesus is fully human. He was tired from a long day of ministry, so he fell asleep. I'm sure we'd all probably have done that if we were really shattered from a long day. Falling asleep is one of the first things we'd probably do. But it also tells us that Jesus is at peace. He's not worried about the storm. He's at rest. And he's peacefully sleeping while all of this stuff is going on round about him. And the disciples, what are they doing? Well, they're panicking. It says, "The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Teacher, don't you care if we drown?'" You know, there's real fear here, isn't there? There's also a bit of accusation. Don't you care? They're scared for their lives, and Jesus is sleeping. From their point, he doesn't seem to care what's happening to them. And you know, I think that we can relate to that. How many times have we been in situations where we feel like we're drowning, and God seems to be nowhere? Where the storms of life are overwhelming us, and we can cry out, "God, do you not care what is happening to me?" But watch what Jesus does. Verse 39 says, "He got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down and it was completely calm." So Jesus speaks and right away everything is calm. Think about what the disciples are seeing here. They're Jewish men. They know the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, who has authority over the seas and the storms, God does. Psalm 107 says, He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. And in Psalm 89 we read, You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, You still them. So only God controls the seas, and only God can command the storms. And here, Jesus does it with just a word. And then Jesus turns to His disciples. Verse 40 says, He said to His disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? So Jesus is saying to them, Have you not seen enough of Me to know who I am? And the disciples, well, they're left terrified. Verse 41 says, They were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him. So here they went from being frightened of the storm to being frightened of Jesus, because they're starting to realize who Jesus is. This is someone who has authority over creation itself. Who is this? And you know, that's the question that Mark wants us to ask us throughout this gospel. Who is Jesus? Who is He? And this story has shown us that Jesus is the one who has authority over all chaos. You know, when everything seems out of control, when the storms are raging about us, when we're about to go under, when we think we cannot live for another day, another minute, with the pain that we feel inside, Jesus speaks and brings peace. But Mark isn't done yet. He then gives us another story that makes the same point, but in a very different way. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. So they've crossed over to the other side, to Gentile land. And this is important, because this is Jesus taking His ministry outside of the Jewish lands. And as soon as they arrive, they face chaos, but a different kind of chaos. Verse 2 says, When they got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet Him. So this man here, he's demon-possessed. He's living in tombs in a cemetery. He's unclean by Jewish standards. He's about as far from God as you could possibly get in his day, both physically and spiritually. And Mark gives us more detail. It says in verse 3, This man lived in tombs, and no one can bind him anymore, not even with a chain. So they've tried to restrain this man, but he's too strong. Verse 4, For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. So this is a superhuman strength. The demons have given him this strength that is way beyond what's a natural human strength. And we read in verse 5, Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. This is tragic. This poor man here is absolutely tormented. He's crying out constantly. He's self-harming. He's completely controlled by these evil spirits. He has no freedom, no peace, no light in his life, and no hope. How sad is that? And this, you know, this is what demonic possession looks like. Complete chaos and destruction. The demons do not want this man to have a life. They want to destroy him. And then Jesus arrives, verses 6 and 7. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. So the demon is speaking through the man. And notice what he calls Jesus here, Son of the Most High God. The demons know exactly who Jesus is. And they know that at any point, Jesus can totally end them. Verse 8 says, For Jesus had said to him, Come out of this man, you impure spirit. So Jesus has already commanded the demon to leave, and the demon is not happy about this. It says, and Jesus asks a question in verse 9, The question is this. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." Legion is a Roman military term. A legion was about 5,000 to 6,000 soldiers. That's a lot. So whether that's the exact number here or just meaning a lot, the point is clear that this man, he's not possessed by just one demon. He's possessed by lots of demons. And then verse 10, they beg Jesus not to send them out of the area. Then verse 11 says, a large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. So remember, they're in Gentile territory. Jews did not keep pigs. To them, they were unclean animals. But here's a large group of pigs here nearby. Verse 12 says, the demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them. So the demons want to go into the pigs instead of being sent away. And you know, Jesus allows it. Verse 13, he gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Now, some people really struggle with this. Why would Jesus destroy someone's property? And what about the pigs? But think about what's been shown here. Firstly, the visible evidence that the demons were leaving the man. Everyone can see the pigs rushing into the sea. There's no question here that something very real has happened. Then they can also see the value comparison, that one human being is worth more than 2,000 pigs. So the man's freedom is far more important than the economic loss of the people who kept the pigs. We are also shown the power of evil. Look at what the demons do to the pigs straight away. They force them to pure destruction. And that's what they were doing to this man. And that is what they do. They completely destroy. And the people who were looking after the pigs, they run to tell everyone what's happened. And when they arrive, look at what they find. Verse 15 says, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. So this man here is completely transformed. He was naked. He was living in tombs. He was crying out. He was cutting himself. He was raging with a superhuman strength. And now he's sitting calmly. He's dressed. He's in his right mind. And he's at Jesus' feet. This is freedom right here, isn't it? And you know, this is what Jesus does. He brings peace to chaos. And he can bring freedom to those in bondage. But also, please remember this. Sometimes transformation takes longer. Noah and I were speaking about that just last night. You know, here, clearly, this man is transformed straight away. And that's brilliant. Of course it is. But please remember that transformation can also take time. And we have to be graceful and we have to be patient and allow that happen. In God's time, through the work of the Holy Spirit, it does happen, but it can take a lot longer. And notice people's response here. It says they were afraid. Verse 17, then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. So they're more concerned about their pigs than they are happy about this man's deliverance. And they want Jesus to leave. But the man who was healed, he had a completely different response. We read that in verse 18. It says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged him to go with him. So he wants to follow Jesus. He wants to stay with the one that set him free. And who wouldn't? I think if somebody had set me free from that, I would absolutely want to hang about with him for the rest of my days, I'm sure about it. But you know, Jesus had other plans. Verse 19 says, Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So Jesus sends this man home as a missionary to tell people what God has done for him. And verse 20 says, so the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. So this man does what he's told. The Decapolis, a big area, 10 cities. So just thinking the witness that this man would have been, going speaking to all his own people and telling them what God had done for him. The people were amazed, it says. No wonder they were amazed. So I wonder, what do we take from all of this? Those two stories, how can we take them and apply them to our lives today? Well, firstly, please know this, that Jesus has authority over every kind of chaos. Whether it's the chaos of a storm or demons tormenting us, Jesus has the power to bring peace. Absolutely nothing is beyond his control. Next, we can know that Jesus cares about us in our storms. The disciples asked him, "Don't you care if we drown?" And the answer is yes, he cares. He might not respond in the way or the timing that we would want him to, but he definitely cares. And he has the power to calm any storm. We also should trust Jesus, you know, even when it feels like he's not there. Jesus was sleeping here during this storm, but he was still in the boat. He had not abandoned them. He had not left them alone. He was with them. And when they shouted on him, he responded. What a great lesson for us. I know that it feels at times that God, you know, can be far off during our troubles. I know that. I know that. But please know this. His word many times through the Bible tells us he will never leave us, never forsake us. He's always, always there. We spoke about this at Alpha briefly in our wee group. You know, the truth of what God tells us does not depend on how we feel, because our feelings go up and down. They change like the wind. We're in, we're out. The truth of what God says absolutely does not change regardless of how we feel. We can also know that Jesus brings freedom to those in bondage. This man, he was completely controlled by demons. He had no freedom, but Jesus set him free. And you know, Jesus still sets people free today from addiction, from sin, from shame, from guilt, from pain, from harming ourselves, from harming others, from whatever it is that might be keeping us bound. Jesus can set us free. And please know this, that when Jesus sets us free, he sends us to tell others. The man wanted to follow Jesus, to stay with him. But Jesus said, "Go and tell what God has done for you." So we are not just saved for ourselves. We are saved to be witnesses. I've said that a lot, haven't I? When I'm preaching and often share my own story, my own life, how I came to faith and my Christian journey. The whole reason that God wanted to come and do anything in my life, it was never about me. It was so I could tell others. It was so I could be of better use to him and those around me. It's all about the flow. When God comes and does something in our life, it's so we can share that with other people. And you know, when Christ frees us, we are free. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." I love that. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Maybe you're in a storm right now. Maybe it feels like you're drowning and God is asleep. Well, you know, have hope today. Have hope. Jesus is in the boat of our lives. He sees the storm. He has the power to calm it. All we have to do is shout out to him. Or maybe we're in a different kind of bondage. Maybe there's a sin or an addiction or shame or fear that's trapping us. You know, Jesus has the power to set us free from that. He can break every chain and he can bring us to a place of peace. And the question the disciples asked is the question that we all need to answer. Who is this? Who is Jesus? And let me tell you the answer to that question. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the one who calms storms and he casts out demons. He's the one who brings peace over chaos and brings freedom to those in bondage. He's the Son of God, and he has the authority over everything that ever threatens to destroy us. So may we all trust him. May we all call out to him and tell him our fears And may we all know that Jesus is in the boat of our lives. And in his time, let us watch him bring us to a place of peace. Amen. Well, let us again join our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these powerful stories that show us who Jesus is. Lord, we thank you that you have authority over every storm that we will ever face. And we thank you that nothing is beyond your control. Father, we bring our own storms to you this morning. The individual chaos in our lives. The things that feel like they're overwhelming us. Lord, would you speak peace into our situations? And Lord, we thank you that you break chains. We thank you that you set captives free. So for anyone this morning who feels trapped or bound, Lord, would you show your liberating power? And oh God, help us to trust you, even when it seems like you're not paying any attention. Help us to remember that you are always, always in the boat of our lives. And Lord, when you do work in our lives, help us to tell others what you have done for us. In the loving name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We will continue in our worship now as we sing together, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me." And as we sing, we'll worship God with our offering, as the offering is brought forward.